You Don't Know How Lucky You Are. That's the title of a book by a Michigan man who's been fighting the system that hid his birth records. Why? Because he's an adoptee. We originally broadcast my conversation with Rudy Owens in June of this year. He joined the show to talk about his journey through the American adoption system. Let's take a listen. Why did you write this memoir?
Well, I think it's important for Americans to understand the adoptee experience. We number about 5 million people in the United States. And then when you think of that, there's at least 5 million birth mothers. And everyone has siblings who might have adoptee relatives or know someone who's adopted someone. So we are a large part of this country whose stories mainly remain hidden in the shadow. What I wanted to do is remove the stigma associated with the adoptee experience and help people understand why adoptees today in the year 2018 are fighting at least to get access to their identity records so they can know who they are. It's an important story. It's a civil rights story. It's an equal rights story. I think it's time that story get told openly and honestly.
I would think knowing something about your biological past and your health traits might be important too.
Oh, it's absolutely critical. Nearly every medical expert, the Surgeon General and other major medical organizations always recommend knowing your family medical history. Think about the BRCA gene for women who may have a probability of cancer. There are adoptee women who may never know they have a higher risk of cancer just because they may be born in some state where they can't get those records. So if we do believe in promoting population health and human health and individual health, it seems to make sense that we would want to ensure that everyone can get their family background.
Let's talk about Michigan. You call Michigan's adoption record law outdated and discriminatory. In what ways?
Well, when I say discriminatory, I basically mean there is a law and it applies to people two different ways. There are people who are adopted and people who are not adopted. When people who are not adopted want to know what their vital records are, including their birth certificate, they fill out a form, they're treated professionally. They pay a fee, they get their document. When someone who is adopted wants to know where they come from, they hit what we call a brick wall, where they hit all kinds of barriers based on their year of birth. And it almost is impossible because of the system to even know what your family origins are or to even get access to your records. There are also two tiers of adoptees in Michigan. I was born in the tier between 1945 and 1980, where I actually have a higher threshold to basically, I have to get a court order to get my birth certificate.
Now, wait, if you were born before 45, it's a different set of rules. If you were born after 1980, it's a different set of rules.
That is correct. And I can't tell you the rationale among the lawmakers who did it that way, but we know from the data that these are the boom years of American adoption. There were nearly 3 million adoptions between the years 1945 and 1975. That's when it was the system that promoted it. That's when we had the national system that promoted that as the choice for single mothers.
What is the reason the state, the government, gives you for being so secretive about your personal records?
Well, what I usually hear from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is it's the law. I don't hear anything more beyond that. What I just hear is that is the law, and we are here to enforce the law, and you have to abide by the rules. In my case, I had found my birth mother in 1989. I had her sign a consent form that basically stated Michigan could release my birth records to me. Even though I knew my birth mother, her family, my birth father's family, for nearly three decades, they still refused to give me my birth certificate in 1989. In 2016, I asked again. They still refused to give it to me, even though I had a family record of knowing each other. And they made me get a court order, which I got, and finally got my birth certificate.
That's a lot of process. You've got some suggestions for the state of Michigan. Let's go through them.
Right.
First, you say the state should do a better job in providing accurate data on adoptees born here.
Yeah.
That's not done?
No, that is a national problem. What adoption, the counting of adoptees was always voluntary. We had a system that counted adoptees, again, in those big boom years from 1945 to 75. That was voluntary. So what we have is an estimate, a pretty good estimate between those years, that there were nearly 3 million adoptees. Since that time, there has been no official counting of them. The U.S. Census has only been counting them since the year 2000 and then in 2010. And even then, it's not counting adoptees who are adults. So we have this large group of people who were born as adoptees. And I think it's important to have data because when you are counted, you count. And when you count, people pay attention. So Michigan, like other states, can say, well, we don't need to help these people or provide them access because we don't know who they are or how many there are. If we had a better estimate of there was a huge number of Michiganders who are denied some information that others get by law, then people might pay attention to that.
Second, you suggest Michigan should track all requests for birth records by adoptees. How does that help?
Well, I think what we don't know is how many people are asking for help. So what the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services told me when I asked for an interview and then they replied by email is that they're not counting how many requests are coming in. So we don't know how many people are asking for help. What we do know is just some data that they're saying about how much information is released. And again, when you're releasing information, it's only after you've cleared these enormous hurdles, one, that you've miraculously, by luck and by grit, found out what your parents were. In Michigan, birth parents have the ability to redact information if they want through the system. So you, first of all, you've got to find your birth mother. Then you've got to get that person to hopefully sign a consent form.
If she's still living.
If they're around, right, and they could be somewhere else. So it's very difficult. So what would be really helpful, I think, for lawmakers and for everyone else is just to know what the volume is of people coming in, and then we can know what the success rate is or the failure rate. And again, if we find that there's some disparities, maybe we can address those disparities. I think this is pretty much bipartisan in nature. It's just good government. Government agencies, particularly dedicated to health and human services, are great at tracking data. Why can't we track this a little better?
You point to the Central Adoption Registry,
yeah,
and you call for a performance audit of that office.
Yep.
Why?
Well, it's unusual that because I have written about adoption, people are contacting me around the country who were born. I had a woman contact me in Scotland. I have people contacting me who have some long-term illnesses and others. They say they're born here, but they can't get any help when they try to get help. And the only place you can get help is this office. This is the office that handles requests that come in. They come in from the court. They come in from an adoption agency. They process. They determine whether or not there is information on file that indicates whether a birth parent would release information or not. And if so, then they could possibly release information. But that office isn't there to help an adoptee. If you call, you're not going to talk to anyone. They may call you back. There's no email that you can ask. I born in this circumstance. Here's my question. What can I do? I, in my circumstance, had a situation that I do not believe was covered by law because I had found my birth parents, and theoretically, common sense should dictate my birth certificate should have been given. But she basically said, and it was a one-person office from what I understand, fill out the dang form. And that doesn't seem to me really good customer service when we basically hope government is there to serve the people that put them there.
Finally, you call for the state to provide more staff to answer adoptee questions like you were talking about. How's that going to help everyone?
Well, I think people don't understand what it's like to be an adoptee asking for help. When you go into the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services building in Lansing, which I was this week when I went to visit lawmakers, they stand behind a sealed glass office with a very thick window, and they stand in a very defensive posture. And I actually proposed to them some of these ideas, and they weren't very interested in talking to me. So what I suggested to them and to some state lawmakers who had the benefit of meeting and their staff was what we can do is perhaps free up some staff time, make sure that the staff can at least take questions. You can log questions during the day. You can get an answering machine. You can set up an email where people could send questions in a reasonable amount of time. People can answer those questions in a professional and courteous manner. It's not that way right now with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and that's just unfortunate.
Now, when I was looking at your blog, you did send in some questions, and you didn't get all of them answered. You didn't even get half of them answered.
No, I did not.
But you did get answers.
I got some answers.
So it's not completely broken, it sounds like.
No, and those answers, what I was trying to do was just to determine, you know, in my case, like, how did you come to a decision to deny me my birth certificate when all this information was available, when common sense would have dictated it should have been released? And I also wanted information how they were working. So you have to basically go through a reporter-like process, submit questions, and then get an answer. They would not allow anyone who was in the decision-making process to ever talk to me. I thought that was unfortunate since they were the ones making determinations about a document that took me 51 years to get.
And we want to talk about that in just a second, but let's talk about the lawmakers. How did those conversations go? How receptive were they?
Well, I'm going to applaud the Michigan State Legislature staff. Everyone was professional and courteous across the aisle. I talked to Republicans. I talked to Democrats. Their staff were always there to listen. I let them know who I was, why I had flown across the country. I told them about my book. I told them about my experience, and then I told them about simple ways we can make some solutions that don't cost a lot of money and help the residents. Everyone likes something that isn't too confrontational. So I got good treatment. What I heard was from two staff members of at least two lawmakers that their husbands were adopted and had gone through similar experiences. I know one member of the Michigan Senate is an adoptee. I ran into people because I was wearing a T-shirt that said adoptee rights are human rights, have conversations with me. A woman hugged me because she had gone through the exact same experience as me. I ran into a man at my hotel whose sister had given up her child for adoption when she was 17. So people want to talk about it. It gets it out of the shadows. So I think that they like it, but right now it's not on anyone's agenda. There's a lot on the agenda in Lansing right now, and this is not there.
You ultimately did receive a copy of your original birth certificate after the state had refused to hand it over. What changed?
Well, what changed was they had to comply with the law. In this case, they said, go to the court and get a court order. We're not going to talk to you anymore. And I said, okay. That is not an easy process. Going to a court is a very difficult thing. They don't provide any information online how to do that because it's going to be different in different counties. I had to piece it together talking to staff at the juvenile court in Wayne County, and I had to fill out three different forms, and then I had a 7-minute hearing with a judge, Judge Dingle, and Judge Dingle ruled in my favor mainly because I had known my birth family, and at the end of our 7-minute hearing on the telephone, he said, I am supposed to find just cause for allowing this person to have his birth certificate, and no one has told me what just cause means, and he's very frustrated with the experience too because the legislature isn't telling him how to determine what just cause is to release this document that many adoptees would like without this hassle.
Rudy Owens wrote the book, You Don't Know How Lucky You Are, An Adoptee's Journey Through the American Adoption Experience. Thanks for telling us about this problem that most of us weren't aware of.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
That's Stateside for today. I'm Lester Graham. Thanks for listening.